Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. We are just about a month, a little more than a month away from the NFL draft. Of course, a lot has happened since the last time Daniel Cox and I came to you. Daniel is here with me.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Jay, and on the phone right now, we have Dave Choate, the editor of The Falcoholic. And folks, if you don't pay attention to The Falcoholic, if you don't follow Dave and his crew on Twitter, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Fantastic content, always entertaining. Dave, how is everything up your way? I hear there's some snow.
There's some snow, but also some flattery, so I appreciate that.
Ah, yes. There's a 70% chance of flattery when you come on the podcast. So,
I like those.
All right, Dave. Well, let's get started here. Like I said, a lot has kind of gone on since the last time Daniel and I were on the podcast a week ago. One of those things, the return of Tony Gonzalez. Tony announces that he's going to come back for another year. He signs a contract. What was your reaction to his return, and how do you think that kind of bodes for the 2013 season?
I'd say my immediate reaction was joy, and I think that was pretty much my reaction all the way up until this moment where you asked me. You know, bringing him back, it's such a huge thing for the franchise. There's nobody else who's in the shape he's in at the age he's in, that has the level of production he has at that age. I mean, guy's a lock to be in the Hall of Fame someday. He's still an extremely productive player. He's clutch across the middle. You know, Matt's always got that target to throw to. And so bringing him back, to me, was such a huge thing for the offense. I mean, you couldn't get a tight end, rookie or otherwise, who was going to replace that kind of production. And, you know, he's a great guy. So we're thrilled to have him back. I think I speak for every Falcons fan.
Absolutely. The other big news last week was the free agent signing of running back Steven Jackson, coming in after a 9-year career in St. Louis. Your reaction to Steven Jackson signing, and how does that, you know, moving forward, how's the backfield look to you with, you know, the Beaver backfield, as it's begun to be called, Jaquizz Rodgers and Steven Jackson, both Oregon State Beavers, and they're going to be toting the rock for the Falcons this year.
I mean, that's a great thing, too. I mean, we had all heard the rumors that this might happen. You know, I had some initial reservations about it, you know, just one of those desires to get young at the position. But, you know, you look at his numbers, you look at what he's accomplished, you look at the kind of person he is. Steven Jackson's going to show up this year, and he's going to play some great football. And one of the things that he gives the Falcons that they lacked last year, you know, as good as Michael Turner always was, you know, those hands. He can catch the football. He can do dynamic things out of the backfield with the football. And, you know, when you pair him with Jaquizz Rodgers, when you pair him with Jason Snelling, both of whom can do the same things, you know, opposing defenses have to game plan for that at all times. You know, you don't have a guy who you know is going to run or block if he's in the backfield. You have a guy that is a passing threat in the passing game. And that's such a huge thing. I think it makes the offense more versatile. I think Jackson's still got a couple of good years in him at minimum, probably a lot more than that, the shape he keeps himself in. So, you know, you look at this offense right now, and if you're not terrified of it, you really ought to be.
I completely agree with you. But let's switch gears a little bit here, because it's been a little quiet on the free agency front with, you know, the owners' meetings and all the owners and GMs and coaches down in Phoenix right now for that. And let's switch to the draft here. And I'm going to start out by putting you on the spot here. And I am not going to relent until I get a name. So fair warning. But who do you have the Falcons selecting in the first round at number 30 overall if the draft was held right now? What would your card be that you would turn into Commissioner Goodell?
All I can give you is my name, rank, and serial number.
We need to do a little better than that, Dick.
If I had to pick a name, I would go with DeMontre Moore right now. I think this is such a deep draft at a lot of positions, which is, you know, Dimitrov's eyes have to be lighting up thinking about this. There's going to be a good player there at 30 and right on through the draft, really. But I think they need another pass rusher to add to the mix. I think Moore fits the bill. He's been frequently compared to a young John Abraham, which is a very flattering comparison. You know, he's a guy that maybe isn't quite the asset in the run game you'd like him to be yet, but he's such a good pass rusher already. All the tools are there. He's a great athlete, and I think that he'll make it to 30. I think a couple of guys will make it to 30 who could be decent pass rushers, but if you give me the choice, Moore's the guy.
All right, there. We got a name, Daniel. Right,
there we go. There we go. Okay, we'll stay in with the draft. You know, the Falcons were awarded the four compensatory picks on Monday, and the Falcons have a fourth and three additional seventh-rounders. And we know we can't – the Falcons can't trade those picks in the draft, but, you know, now they have a two fourth-round picks and, what, four seventh-round picks. How do you see Thomas Dimitrov handling those picks, and do you think that that gives some flexibility in the draft, or how do you see those picks, or the I guess the multitude of picks being used now next April?
Well, I think you know what you're really looking at here is a team that wants to get young on defense. I think that the signal they're sending with free agency so far is, you know, we'll have this incredibly dynamic offense. Some of the pieces are getting up there in age, even though they're effective. So let's go young on defense. Let's have, you know, dynamic players that can do a lot of different things. We all know how much Mike Nolan likes to disguise his front, so you need the athletes for that. And so I think that's primarily what they're going to spend their picks on. And I think what makes those extra compensatory picks so good is that, you know, you can take a chance in the seventh round on a guy who maybe doesn't pan out this year, even if you spent all your picks on defense right up through the first six or seven rounds. And, you know, look at some of the players they've been able to get there in the past. Vance Walker, you know, who just left, but Travion Robinson, who I'm very high on at defensive tackle. I mean, this is a front office that's extremely good at sniffing out talent late in the draft. And so to have those three extra picks to play with, you know, for some teams, you know, you just throw them away on three players. You see if they're any good. They're camp bodies. They go. But with this particular front office, with Dimitrov operating the way he does, I can see those three players turning into useful players down the line. And I think they may take some chances on some guys that, you know, maybe they'd be undrafted free agents, but by drafting them, they're in-house, you've got them, you can groom them, turn them into players. And obviously the fourth round pick is even better because that's right in the wheelhouse, right in the middle of the draft, you know, where they're still going to be in this deep a draft, a lot of quality players to look at. And I think they are going to go defense largely through those 11 picks.
Yeah, you got to think that with the way things have gone up to this point in free agency with as far as the offense is concerned. But I want to get back to free agency a little bit and talk about a post that you had on your site, thefalcoholic.com, talking about how Atlanta has become a destination for premier free agents. And I think we've certainly seen this with some of the names that have come through in the last 5 years. But, Dave, you've been a fan since what? I mean, I think what you said, 2001, somewhere around there?
Early 90s. Early
90s. Oh, man, I was way off.
You're off by a decade.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, when there's an opportunity to get math right, I'm going to go for it.
Hey, I don't blame you. I certainly don't have those opportunities pop up all that often myself. No. But, okay, so you've been a fan since the beginning of time. So you've seen a lot of different eras in your time as a fan. How and why do you think this has changed where Atlanta is becoming a team that, hey, if I'm a free agent, that's one of the places that I absolutely want to go?
Well, you know, I started watching football, as you said, at the beginning of time, so there was no free agency and no football, really, at that point.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot since then.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the things that I think has made this a destination is, you know, I think that players appreciate when a team is well-run, when a team wins a lot, and when they know that if they go there, you know, the cap is going to be managed intelligently. There's going to be more good players coming in. There's going to be good players retained. And I think that that was something that, for various reasons throughout the history of the Falcons, not all of those pieces were working at once. But we're kind of in that era right now. And I think, you know, Atlanta's a great city. Obviously, it's an appealing city. It's warm there, unlike up here. And, you know, the team itself is just built in such a way that success seems sustainable. You know, I think that the front office and the coaching staff and the players who are here can talk intelligently about, you know, that kind of success, the vision of the franchise. They can articulate that well. And if you're a free agent like Steven Jackson, who, you know, told us he wanted to come to Atlanta, I think that's a very attractive thing. You feel like you're going to be competing for a Super Bowl every year. You feel like the owner's on board, the front office is on board, the coaches, the players, you guys. I mean, just every level of the organization is committed to winning, committing to putting its best foot forward. And that's a huge thing. I really do think that. I think that some guys, yes, they're just out for the money. They're just out for more playing time. But by and large, these guys want to win as bad as anybody. And so if you can give them the winning culture, I think that's what makes it an attractive destination.
Yeah, but Dave, on the other hand, and you mentioned this in your post, the downside of having or being a destination for free agents or, you know, high-profile players is that temptation to, as you say, push all your chips into the middle of the table and, you know, go all in and sign some of those guys. And the Falcons haven't necessarily done that. They've been kind of pick and chose who they wanted to target. And we've seen this year, especially with free agency, the focus, and it's kind of in an open philosophy, publicly spoken about, I guess, of signing your own players. And you interact with a lot of the fans on Twitter. I mean, you've kind of got your finger on the pulse of the fan, I think. And what's kind of your impression of the fans' opinion or insight into the Atlanta approach to signing your own guys first, and maybe we'll, you know, we're certainly not going to be big spenders in free agency, but we'll grab a guy or two. But our focus is always going to be on re-signing players that we think are core guys.
You know, I think it's the right approach. I've always thought that's the right approach. It can be difficult to be patient with that approach at times. You see guys out there, these big-name free agents, they go elsewhere. You say, man, why weren't we in on him? And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. And I think that a lot of fans do feel very strongly that, you know, the team is making the right kind of moves, bringing back their own guys, guys like William Moore, Tony Gonzalez, and then making those judicious splashes in free agency as they need to. But I do think it's a difficult approach for a fan. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, the defense, what's that going to look like next year? There's a lot of anxiety about that. They're saying, you know, where's the pass rush going to come from? And I think that that's just the nature of the beast. If you're a fan and you can't see these big changes coming in the off season, it's difficult for you to fully get on board with that. And I think, you know, that's been the case in many of the past off seasons. You know, we kind of go through the same thing every year where people say, well, maybe we should have gotten him. Maybe we should have gone in this direction. And it's worked out exceptionally well. So I think it's just kind of the fan mentality. You want to see it happen right now. But I do think that most people understand that this is a process, that the draft is going to bring in some guys who will be helpful, that, you know, locking up your own players when you were just a few yards away from a Super Bowl is incredibly important. And I think that as the offseason moves on, the fan can see the vision a little more clearly, kind of see the pieces fit, especially on defense. I think it's something everyone's going to be on board with.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And you know, Dave and I talk pretty frequently in offline and discuss, you know, how he handles, you know, the very question that you asked about, you know, from a fan's perspective, and you and I see it all the time on mm-hmm. Twitter, is, you know, you get past the Steven Jackson honeymoon.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, what's next? Yeah. And it's been quiet, and you know, we all have seen how quiet it's been over the last couple of days, but you know, it's like Dave said, there's a plan there. And I think we go through this with TD every year.
Yeah.
But it's like the memory resets, you know, at the start of the league year. So, you know, Dave certainly has had some fantastic insight into this on his Twitter page. So, folks, make sure you're following him on Twitter at the Falcoholic, if that's your thing. If not, surely the internet is your thing. And yes, check out thefalcoholic.com. And Dave, thank you so much again for joining us. And we always appreciate your insight. And we hope to have you on once again, maybe when we get closer to the draft.
I'd love to do it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Dave. That's Dave Choate from The Falcoholic. So great to have Dave stop by like that. You know, try to give people a wide perspective here. And we had, you know, Alex Marvez on from Fox Sports last week, and Alex's stuff is always great. But yeah. I know you and I love Dave's stuff. And,
oh, absolutely. And, yeah, longtime fan.
Yes. And, you know, he kind of gives that fan perspective, like he was saying. You know, he can't. I truly believe he can speak for all fans because he's really,
without a doubt,
really just on top of things in that sense. So let's get on to Falcons Flash once again, where we share one story from the internet on the Falcons that has caught our attention. And Daniel, as always, I'm going to have you go first with yours, primarily right, because you know, I don't have one yet.
Oh, okay. Well. okay, well, we all know who Peter King is. SI.com, longtime lead NFL guy. I mean, he's one of the easily one of the best in the business. One of my personal favorites as well. In fact, I introduced myself to him a couple years ago at the combine, and I felt like I was like walking up to like John Lennon or something. It was so weird.
I'm sure, but Peter would be happy to hear that.
Yeah, but on his highly popular Monday Morning Quarterback column on Monday, he ranked, I believe it was 10, free agent signings, acquisitions that he felt were the best signings in the first 6 days of NFL free agency. And, of course, you've got, you know, with the Wes Welker deal in Denver and, you know, some others. And then, you know, down scrolling through, number 9, Atlanta, running back Steven Jackson.
I like it.
Yeah, he calls it a steal.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, Thomas Dimitroff, let's just say, in the months of March and April, is, I don't know how many times he's been, like, charged with some kind of larceny. Because yeah, last year, you remember the trade for Asante,
yeah,
seventh round pick. Oh, that was a steal. I mean, every year, you're just like, this guy probably should be arrested for some kind of larceny.
Or he should consider a career in poker.
Yeah, great poker face.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Peter King calls it a steal, and he mentions one of the Rams 49ers games last year, and the Rams beat the 49ers twice last year. I'm sorry, maybe they tied them once. I can't remember, they tied him once
and then beat him the other time.
And he just speaks to the running and the blocking game is something that we haven't talked a lot about with Steven Jackson. He called it a superb effort with vital results, season high 29 carries, which is a ton. 101 yards. He says Atlanta needed a back who could punish defenders, break tackles, and make a defender or two per week miss. If Steven Jackson can't do that, I don't, you know, I'm not sure who can. But I love the signing as well, and we haven't really talked about it. For me, when it comes to when the discussion with Steven Jackson, for me, starts and ends with the career average 4.2 carries, or I'm sorry, yards per carry. If Jackson can do that every carry, you know, or you know, average a game, the Falcons get exactly what they want out of
exactly
them. And that's all they need.
I completely agree. And you're right, we haven't spoken about this, but I love the signing. I mean, I was just as surprised as everybody else because we kept hearing, oh, Green Bay. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, he's agreed to terms. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Now run really fast to try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a surprise for everybody. And like, I think that refers back to the old poker face at this time of year.
Absolutely.
But I completely agree. I love this signing. I think it does so much. Like you said, you know, and like Dave said, you've got a guy who can run the ball and he can carry, you know, 4 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
He can catch the ball.
Yeah.
He's got, I think, 400 receptions in his career, something like that, 3,000 yards.
Just over 400. Yep.
Right. So he can do that. Like you said, great blocker out of the backfield. So you've got this guy that can do this wealth of things that you want the running back to be able to do. And here's the thing that struck me. Number one, you know, we had a chance to meet Steven last week at his presser, and I interviewed him for AtlantaFalcons.com. He is gigantic.
Yeah.
He is huge.
And that's what gets overlooked. 6'2", 240. He's a running back. Running backs aren't built that way.
I shake his hand, and his hand, like, envelops mine. It's like he has a frying pan on the end of his hand, you know? So I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that's a meaty paw there. And then you stand next to him, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 5'8", maybe 5'9", on a good day.
Yeah.
Somebody like London Fletcher,
right,
great linebacker, is only like 5'9".
Okay.
I can't imagine. So I'm not, certainly not London Fletcher's size, but I can't imagine trying to tackle this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you've got, it's hard. You know, every year it seems we talk about, when we get to these games, we talk about trying to tackle Cam Newton or trying to tackle Josh Freeman because they are so big.
Right.
And they are big, meaty quarterbacks who can run the ball. And if you don't tackle them well, you're going to have a hard time stopping them that day. I kind of put Steven Jackson in that category with those guys when it comes to running, because you have got to be so good with your technique and tackling and your the part of his body that you're going to attack him with. And, you know, we all know what's going on with the new rule with running backs. And,
right.
You know, as far as not lowering your head and whatnot. But and we'll see how that affects Steven Jackson's game.
Yeah.
But just in looking at him and just, you know, the eye test, so to speak, it passes.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely. I don't remember the stats specifically, and it was around 600 yards or so, but it was one of the top, you know, top 10, maybe 15 backs in the league, like 600 yards after contact last year. In fact, I think he averaged 2.7 yards after contact, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but when you compare, like, Adrian Peterson was like, you know, maybe 3 or 4, which he was like by far the elite in the league.
Right.
That's pretty good. You know, you're getting 4 yards a carry, but, you know, two of those is coming after contact. So he's breaking tackles, like you say.
Yeah.
That's a great, great signing. He's an awesome guy, seems like.
Yes.
And I love that skill set wise, as far as receiving and running, he's very similar. And Dave kind of mentioned it as well to Jaquizz Rodgers in the backfield. So suddenly, you know, either or in the backfield, it's not so clear necessarily what the Falcons are going to do on that particular down.
Exactly. You know, last year when Michael Turner was in there, you could probably guess that they were going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Okay. It wasn't always the case because we saw some passes go Michael's way.
Yeah.
But I think this year, definitely. And here's the thing that excites me. Okay, you talk about the 9 years that he spent in St. Louis and all the numbers that he racked up there.
Yeah.
He basically did that without a whole lot around him.
Yeah.
Now he's coming into an offense that is so stacked with weapons in the passing game that there is no team in its right mind that's going to put 8 in the box against this guy.
Yeah.
Because you can't. You can't. Again, we hear this term, and I love it because it's really being associated with the Falcons' offense. It's just pick your poison.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop Steven Jackson, put 8 in the box, and then go one-on-one with Roddy and Julio? Like, what exactly are you going to do if you're a defense? And I think that this offense right now, the way it's set up, is going to be so confounding for defensive coordinators that I think it could keep them up at night.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, how do you stop these guys? What do you focus on? And so for me, that's what I really want to see is, okay, Steven Jackson now, with all he's accomplished in his career, everything that he can do as a running back, and now suddenly he's not facing 8 in the box? Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. He's, I can't wait.
It's from a talent perspective, probably easily the most talented team he's been on, I think.
All right, so let's get on to mine here, and I found it just a moment ago because I wrote about it. But the, you know, we talk about this all the time, and I know some people are like, well, these don't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear about it. And then other people are like, oh, my God, you know, this is stupid. And I'm talking about power rankings, okay?
Ah,
you know, rankings. Some people like them, some people don't.
Yeah.
Look, they're all for entertainment. They don't...
this is... come on.
I mean, it's just...
We are in the entertainment business.
Exactly. It's just one guy's opinion, and, you know, it's unless you're the number one team, you're probably going to have a lot to complain about. So, ESPN and NFL.com both released their pre-draft power rankings, and the Falcons are up near the top. In
pre-draft, post-free agency, or post-starter free agency.
I mean, it's like really we're getting down to the nitty-gritty there. but anyways, ESPN.com, their pre-draft power rankings, have the Falcons at number 4, behind Seattle at number 1, San Francisco number 2, Denver at number 3. And then later on, I found out that NFL.com released theirs a slightly less favorable opinion on the Falcons right now. They have them at number 6 and falling behind San Francisco, Denver, New England, Seattle, and Baltimore, respectively. So, say what you will. I'm going to agree more with the ESPN one just because Baltimore, I think when you lose 6 starters like they have through free agency, it's tough to say that they're going to be at the top of the league, but who knows? Who knows what could happen in the NFL? But, I mean, it was interesting. I think, you know, when I polled our fans, I said, where would you rank the Falcons today? 41% of you have voted that you would have the Falcons at number 1, 22% at number 3, 19% at number 2, 9% at 4, and 7% at 5 or below. So, you know, the fans are thinking top 3. I'm kind of there, too. I think, you know, because you're basing everything on paper right now. There's nothing on the field. I think the offseason that San Francisco and Seattle have had certainly put them
absolutely
near the top. I think Denver's had a nice offseason. I think, you know, with those three teams and the Falcons, you could really rank them kind of anywhere. And I understand why you'd put Seattle number 1, and I understand why you'd put San Francisco at number 1. What I don't understand is why you'd put the Falcons at number 6, although it has to do with the defense.
Well, and he's got them behind the Ravens.
That's what I'm saying, is that how can you put them behind the Ravens when the Ravens have lost 6 starters? You know, so that's, to me, one of those things, I don't know. Again, you know, this is all entertainment stuff and up for debate, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's got an opinion on where you would rank the different teams. I don't know, it's just interesting to me. And you know, the fans seem to like paying attention to it, so that's why I talk about it. Sometimes I'll get tweets like, oh, nobody cares about this. The numbers say they do.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers that I see on the website every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. I think it's a good start off for debate. You know, if you and your friends, you know, want to sit down and talk about some football.
Absolutely.
You know, you see, you talk about the difference between 4 and 6, not a whole lot, but... You know, but the other thing too that I noticed is ESPN has the Falcons above New England, which is something that NFL.com did not have.
Yeah, number 3.
So you've got a complete difference of opinion here. I don't know, just definitely interesting to me. Kind of had to think it over yesterday.
Well, and I think for me, like from a more global, if you step back from it, I think that if nothing else, it shows, you know, the Falcons are in the discussion, and we've had this conversation. We talked about it ad nauseum during the season, and we mentioned it a couple weeks ago. We feel like, I mean, I feel like training camp gets cranked up in August. The Falcons are going to be one of those teams that everyone, from a media perspective, national media perspective, they're going to be talked about quite a bit.
Yeah.
They're going to be, and they're not going to be bashed. I don't think people are going to hate on the Falcons.
No, I think this year's going to be different because of the playoff win and how close you got to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody's going to be like, oh, well, prove it. Prove how good you are. I think that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any media still on that ship, we will push you off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's great. And that's one of the things I pointed out in my blog about this is that it should really come as no surprise that you're in this conversation right now. And I think that's what you take away from it is, you know, you're in the top 10 in the conversation. You probably should be top 5
in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're in this conversation among the league's best teams in March.
Yeah.
And you haven't even finished free agency yet. You haven't even gotten to the draft yet. A lot of different things can happen between now and then, and you're already in this conversation, I think. That's as good a sign as any that expectations are going to be high this year.
Absolutely. Falcons ahead of Green Bay, New York Giants.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, I mean, those are some bona fide title contenders right there. So
absolutely. All right. Well, that was the interesting thing for me.
Cool.
We're going to wrap it up, and I have been looking forward to this all podcast because I think this is absolutely fantastic. Cool. We are going to entertain you with five things you didn't know about certain things having to do with the
Falcons. Yeah, you know, we've been doing five various, we've kind of been ranking some things, so
yes,
we're going to do a little bit differently this week.
Yeah.
We've got a new guy on our team, so.
Yes. So this is going to be the Steven Jackson part of Rank'em. I guess we'll call it
Rank'em.
Rank'em. It's just out there. Okay, so five things you didn't know about Steven Jackson. And I'm going to start with number one. He has an awesome website, and if you haven't checked it out, please do. SJ39.com. So much great content on there. They do a great job of keeping that updated with all the things that he's got going on. But the Week in the Life series, which I think was filmed 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Oddly enough, when the Rams were getting ready to play the Falcons in 2010, phenomenal insight into Steven Jackson and how he prepares for a game. And
yeah.
I mean, we're talking about like cold tubs, hyperbaric chambers that he sleeps in. Like, there's like some wild, wacky stuff that he does to prepare for a game.
Yeah.
And that episode, that kind of video series, gives you a really good look into what exactly he does to prepare for a game. So definitely don't miss that. SJ39.com. Number two, he has never played on a team with a winning record. Think about that.
Yeah.
Most wins in a season is 8.
Yeah. 8-8 twice, I believe it
8
was.
8-8 twice. So 9-year career, you've never had a winning season. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say 2013 is going to be his first.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. Schedule's tough, I know. Yeah. But I think it's going to happen. All right. Number three, if, you know, we were talking about how big this guy is. You know, the question is, how durable? Mm-hmm. Well, his injury history is that he's only missed 2 games in the last 4 seasons. Not often injured, and if he is, I gather that he's playing through pain. This guy takes care of his body. Everybody talks about Tony Gonzalez. Well, here we've got Tony Gonzalez Jr.
Yeah.
Because this guy takes care of himself in the same exact way that Tony does. So when you talk about, all right, so he's 30 years old. Well, yeah. This 30-year-old running back, I think, is a little different than other 30-year-old running backs simply because of how he takes care of himself.
Absolutely.
And we'll have as much on that as we possibly can on the website.
Yeah.
You know, just about his habits and everything, because they're fascinating and very similar to Tony's.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Steven Jackson's father was a pit boss at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Vegas. And his mother was a blackjack dealer for 22 years at the Hilton.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
I mean,
I'm always looking for some blackjack tips.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm
sure
I'm going to pick his brain about that.
There are only a handful of guys in the NFL that are from Las Vegas.
Yeah, not many. It's not a big football city. Not a lot of guys come out of there. So very interesting that he's from there. And I believe that he spends his time there in the offseason. So. And number five, his two passions outside of football. Number one, architecture. He majored in that in college. I know you're a bit of an architecture buff yourself, right?
Yeah,
you like sheds and
fancy buildings.
Fancy buildings.
Stuff that looks cool.
Arches.
Yeah, you can check out my Instagram for insight on that.
And pictures of the woods.
Yes, the woods. And today is the first day of spring. So I laid an egg on my counter and it stood up.
Yep.
It didn't, you know, roll around.
That's good.
So I took a picture of that.
Yeah,
so
that was nice.
The vernal equinox has begun.
Yes. So Falcons D. Cox on Instagram. You can check all that out and more. And his second passion, fashion. 2 off seasons ago, he actually did an internship at Nike.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that, like, he spends every moment of his offseason, like living and enriching his life. Yeah. It's really amazing. All the traveling he does.
A lot of traveling.
And all the community stuff he does, both, you know, domestically and around the world.
Yeah.
Really great stuff. You, like we've said, Falcons fans, you get a great player, but you also get a great guy in Steven Jackson. So there's five things you may not have known about Steven, and this is the part that I have been looking forward to because I can't wait to learn a little bit about Beavers.
About Beavers.
Why are we learning about Beavers?
Why are we learning about Beavers? Well, I mentioned it earlier, the Beaver backfield, and no disrespect for Jason Snelling. We love Snelling. We love coming up with headlines with Twitter tweets with his name. But the other two running backs on our roster, I'm sorry, in addition to Anton Smith, Jaquizz Rodgers and the new Steven Jackson, both played college at Oregon State, and if you do not know, Oregon State's mascot is the Beaver.
Yep.
So we kind of have a little Beaver backfield going on. That's kind of cool. So I figured, you know, look up some things on Beavers because
that's what you do.
Beavers don't get talked about enough. No. So and I got five. I have more than that. I'm just going to kind of run through a couple because there's some that are kind of fascinating. One of which, a Beaver. How fast do you think a Beaver can swim, Jay?
I'm going to say 6 knots.
Okay.
Is it measured in knots?
I have no clue what that means. That sounds fancy. Curveball. It's very nautical.
Yes.
5 miles an hour. Maybe not as fast as I thought, but a Beaver can swim underwater without surfacing for 15 minutes. A Beaver has a set of transparent eyelids that function much like goggles.
6 knots, I will have you know, is 6.9 miles an hour, so I was in the ballpark.
Yeah, you're totally very close. Okay. I'll remember that next time I'm, captaining my ship that I have.
Next time you're captaining your vessel.
At Lake Lanier.
Yes.
transparent eyelids that function much like goggles.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Oh, boy.
Just wrap your mind around this. I'm going to read it and just consider it. A beaver, and I assume this happens underwater, though it may not need to. It would be a great attribute to have on land. Beavers can close both their ears and their nose.
Wow, man.
Just think about that for a second.
Yeah, I'm trying. And I...
You can humans can close their eyelids. And a beaver has goggles, so it's not even necessary to close. But he can probably blink if he chose to. But a beaver can close his ears and his nose.
That's just beyond fascinating.
That's pretty crazy. Beavers mate for life.
Really? So yes. they don't go run off with other beavers. There's no beaver cheaters.
Very loyal
TV
beavers.
Show.
Beavers are loyal.
Loyal. Okay.
Yeah. There's no reality series.
Yes.
on beavers and their social.
Yeah.
Skills. For some reason, water downstream from the North American beaver, North American beaver dam, water downstream from North American beavers' dams is cleaner.
Hey, let's keep it clean here.
It is clean.
Let's keep it clean for the kids.
I have no idea why, but the water is cleaner downstream from the beaver. Okay. And last one.
Okay.
Beavers were nearly extinct in England in the 12th century because they were hunted for their pelts and their special, they have like special oils on their skin. So.
Oh.
Yep. So there's maybe 8 facts about beavers that you certainly did not know beforehand, unless you're a beaver expert.
Yeah. You know, I'm not so sure how I feel after hearing all those things, you know?
I can't get over the fact that they can close their ears and their nose. How helpful would that be?
Yeah, I can think of some times where I'd like my ears closed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Probably during the podcast. Some of those Falcons fans are like...
The last 5 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah. Falcons fans are like, yeah, right about now would be good.
Yeah.
No, Daniel, seriously, I found those facts about beavers absolutely fascinating.
Cool.
And you know, man. It's always, I think we should all learn a little bit more about wildlife.
I'll see what I can do.
And so now I know.
So let's review. We talked to Dave from
Falcoholic.
Superstar
Yeah.
Superstar. We learned today is the first day of spring.
Yes, it is.
We learned five facts about Beavers.
Eight facts about Beavers.
Eight. We learned a ton of things we didn't know about Steven Jackson.
Yep.
Including what his parents did in Las Vegas for many years.
Yep.
I'd say that's a pretty educational podcast.
If I could have said, hey, these things will make a successful podcast, I would have named all of those.
Okay. All right.
So well, I think we nailed it.
Yeah. I consider that a hit then. Yeah. We're doing the right thing.
Tweet us your thoughts. if you agree. If you disagree.
Yeah, we don't wanna know.
All right. Well, shall we wrap it up?
Sure.
We shall wrap it up
here. I suppose.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. We will have plenty more as we lead up to the draft here on the podcast. And who knows what you may learn.
Yeah, yeah. Full of surprises around here, just like Beavers.
And on that note, Falcons fans, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.